present in this church community in Corinth in their context. So Romans and 1 Corinthians can offer us a perspective as from Paul as both like a theologian, but also as a pastor. We get to see his heart for people. So what was the city of Corinth like? Just to kind of give us a little bit of an understanding of what Paul's conditions were, who he was speaking to, and all that kind of stuff. So Corinth was a port city, meaning it was next to water. It was on a narrow strip of land, the Adriatic Sea on one side, the Aegean Sea on the other. And the city of Corinth was a major trading center in Greece. And it's a relatively wealthy city, a major center for trade, for business, for the arts. Later today, if you would like a really good visual of the city of Corinth, I posted in both our FAC online Facebook group and the FAC Southwest Campus Facebook group. It's about a 45-minute video about the city of Corinth. Even if you just give the first 15 minutes a watch, it's so excellent. It's nice to understand the place where Paul was and the community that was forming there. And as we work through each of Paul's letters, if you know, reading the letter, sometimes you're like, there's just so much information here. I would encourage you to check out the Bible Project videos. We're actually doing, I'm kind of leading like a reading through Paul's letters. You can find in our FAC Online Facebook group a link to that, or we can chat after. So we're reading through all the letters together. We're learning about them, and it's awesome. There's a lot to take in, as you'll see and notice. But Corinth was a pretty rough city to live in. The Greek had a verb, korinthizomai, which meant to act like a Corinthian, which can be understood to act sexually immoral. It wasn't necessarily the easiest place to live. In Acts 18, we read, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, 'Don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you. For many people in this city,'" he's talking about in Corinth, "belong to me." So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half teaching the word of God. Paul stayed in Corinth for the year and a half. So even though the city itself was a cesspool, Jesus encouraged Paul in a vision to stay. So he did. I mean, some of us would really appreciate that. Hey, just like, should I stay? Should I go? Can I just have a vision, please? But here Paul got the vision. He's going to be safe. He's going to stay, and he's going to build into this community here. You know, even being opposed and insulted by many. However, in spite of these challenges, many people were baptized in the faith. They came to know Jesus. So after spending time in Corinth, you know, helping and teaching these people to live the Jesus life, Paul moved to Ephesus to continue on his missionary journey. However, after a couple years away from Corinth, word got back to Paul that there was division, hypocrisy, moral failure within this church community. So Paul established a community in Corinth, moved to Ephesus, and now he started getting these reports back that things weren't going so well. Lots of issues. So let's think about this. You know, the believers had been Christians for maybe like 3 years. That's like still pretty fresh. They didn't have generations of Christians to learn from. None of them grew up in a Christian home. I mean, they had Paul to learn from, which was great, but they were left to figure this out on their own, about what it means to follow Jesus. Now, because Corinth was a hodgepodge of people and trade, you know, the community being diverse ethnically and socially, they were a community that, you know, they just couldn't quite get along. They're learning. Constantly dealing with conflict, division, having trouble sorting out their issues. So Paul writes to the church in Corinth to address some of these big problems. Division between the rich and poor. Sexual misconduct. Confusion about food and worship practices. And controversy surrounding Jesus' resurrection. Did it happen? Did it not? What does that even mean? So in this letter, Paul addresses many of the issues, the envy, the strife, the challenges, the division, and encourages them to be a community, to reflect the love, the holiness, the unity that Jesus brings. And at the end of the letter, Paul reminds the church to stand firm in the gospel. Believe in the gospel. Remember how the resurrection of Jesus has changed them, transformed them, given them hope for the future, victory over sin and death. I mean, the most basic purpose of the letter is to encourage them, to encourage those in the Corinthian church to live united in the gospel, and that they are God's holy people, to set their minds on Jesus. I mean, church conflict it's really nothing new. And I personally just wish everyone could get along. It's the peacekeeper in me. But we all know that where there are people, there is conflict. I mean, my house with my 6-year-old son and my 3-year-old girl, there is conflict. And boy, is it fun. Talk about learning. Yeah, anyways, that's a whole other story, right? But we learn, and I love watching my kids learn to be respectful, learn to love each other deeply, learn to be Jesus even to each other, that we can live together in a healthy and appropriate and a God-honoring way, the Jesus way. That in learning about each other and the beautifully diverse community that we are, that we will celebrate differences, even though we will have challenges, that we'll celebrate culture, celebrate the fact that every single one of us is invaluable and irreplaceable in the eyes of God in our community. We need each other, even with our differences. We can do God's work together. 1 Corinthians is, you know, Paul's letter to the church with problems. And reading through the New Testament, you realize that there were a lot of problems. These church communities were far from perfect. We see the brokenness, but we also see the brokenness contrasted with the gospel and healing and redemption and unity in the body of believers that only Jesus can bring. It's what sets us apart. Now, this letter helped the church in Corinth identify its issues, its problems, and then offer the gospel-centered solutions to teach people how to live for Christ in an extremely corrupt city. Throughout this letter, Paul brings up the issues and presents the Jesus way. The challenge for us, I think, is to look at our lives, you know, in our community and consider, do we live gospel-centered lives? Is Jesus in every decision, every action, every thought? If we're honest, I believe the answer is no. That we have tendencies to be selfish in our decisions. However, may we be a people who continue pressing deeper into Jesus and the power of the resurrection, deeper into unity, deeper into selfless living, where we continue to learn together in and live together in unity and think of others higher than ourselves. That Jesus would be in every thought, every action, every motivation of our lives. Following Jesus, and I say this often because it's just true for my own life, following Jesus is a challenging journey. And it's open for those who are broken, who know they need help, who know they made mistakes and maybe need some guidance, people who know that they don't have all the answers, that they can come to Jesus, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. Jesus is the answer. It's the good news. He's the one who unites us all. So what does unity and diversity look like in our community? So what does Paul have to say to us? So let's read from 1 Corinthians 12. And Paul gives us an illustration here starting in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet, well, I'll show you the most excellent way. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that challenges the way we think, challenges the way we live our lives, and even challenges the way we look at ourselves. Even just reading through that, how we are part of the body. We are needed. And Father, I pray for us today as we continue unpacking this. Holy Spirit, that you would work in our own hearts of what is our place? What does it look like for us to live in unity, even in diversity, with how we act, how we treat other people, even if we have differences? Father, thank you for this community here that honors you, that is a beautiful representation of your kingdom. So we just, thank you, Father. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So what does it look like for us as a church to do life together in all its complexities while staying true and committed to Jesus? Again, Paul reminds everyone, apart from all the issues that you need to sort out, stay focused on the gospel. Thank you, Paul, for a beautiful illustration of what community can look like. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. There are many lessons we can learn from Paul's letters to the Corinthians from this particular part in 1 Corinthians 12. And I love the idea of the human body. Paul explains some important facts about the body of Christ and why differences are important. Being united in our diversity allows us to live and grow and serve in the kingdom in our own unique ways. And we know every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that's the kingdom way. We read how God created the unity of the body. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. One body, Jew or Gentile, which literally means whoever you are, if you follow Jesus, you are a member of the body of Christ. Race, social status, gender, wealth, none of it matters. We all work together in his kingdom. Jesus is the great equalizer. We're all on the same level with one another, working together, partners in the gospel, all for Jesus. Paul reiterates this in his letter to the Galatians as well. He says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What a different way to look at each other. I know this would have been challenging for the church in Corinth, and I think for us, after thousands of years of figuring this out, I think we're slowly getting there. Being able to see each of us as irreplaceable and invaluable in the eyes of God, that we all have a unique purpose, that we can work together even in our complexity, that we can have unity. The human body, many parts working together, functioning, accomplishing each purpose as the task that it does. We all know how complex the human body is. That's a fact. We still keep learning things about the human body. And I feel like it's the same thing with the body of Christ. We keep learning about each other as we live together, grow together, serve together. And it's so amazing. Like the human, so I am not the person that you go to for biology. You can go to my wife. She's the nurse. She gets all the questions. But it's so fascinating as I get to, you know, learn. Even having children, you learn lots of different things about the human body that you never knew before. And that even within our community, how we get to learn about each other, the honor that is to celebrate differences, that we truly do need each other. Celebrating differences is healthy, and we will continue to do that here at FAC, and we will keep Jesus in the center. And if the church is going to be a reflection of Jesus to the world, we need to live together in unity. If we're to be a light that shines in a dark place, we need Jesus. We need to live with unity and love in all that we say and do. Paul talks at length about how each person is needed, each person has a part to play, that you have a part to play. That you have purpose. That God has a plan for you in His kingdom. You are needed. Paul continues on in these verses addressing, you know, topics of diversity within the body. He talks about the purpose of function. You know, so with the body of Christ and the individuals within the community are like various body parts, hands, feet, you know, eyes, ears. These parts are different from one another, but all important, all needed. The body has different parts to function, to live and grow and be effective. We need each other. There is no lone ranger in the kingdom. I can't stress the importance of being together, being a part of the body, of finding your place, and that we can function even with our differences. And I think we need to stop comparing ourselves to others. Maybe you haven't heard this before, maybe you have. Comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. We need to stop comparing to what other people have and are doing. We all need to learn to practice, to continue seeking Jesus every day and see what His part has to play, whether it's here in this community or in your community, out into the world. The hands and feet of Jesus, wherever He has you, you have a part to play. Your journey with Jesus is unique to you. And I think that's exciting that you get to journey with Jesus and discover what your part is to play, what your part is in His kingdom. Each of us different, each of us important. Diversity does not suggest inferiority in the kingdom. All are needed, all are valuable. And it's okay to be different. Body made up of many members, and every single member matters. You matter to God. Our unity in Jesus overcomes our human differences, our ethnicity, our economic standing, gender. God loves diversity, and it's a big part in His design for the church. And God's love evokes a response from us, love for God and love for others. love permeates everything that we say and do. Because we don't go to church. We are the church. I love that about our community. We don't go to church. We are the church. We love people when they least expect it and least deserve it. We love people when they least expect it and least deserve it. You want a challenge? Try loving someone when they least expect it or least deserve it. It's hard. But that's who we are. You are part of the church, the body, and I pray that you find community here at FAC, a place to live, to grow, to serve in the kingdom. Continue on in this part of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul further elaborates the need for every part and how even as a community, God gives honor to every part. When we give ourselves permission to depend on each other, we discover the value and importance of one another, the need for one another. And as a community, we focus on our God-given gifts, abilities. So I think it's really important that we keep learning what our part is to play in the kingdom. Maybe the first step is asking the question, what is my part to play? And see what God has for you. There is no place for us to say, I do not need you. You hear me? There is no place for us to say, I do not need you in the kingdom. We need you. We need each other. And may those words never come out of our mouth. I don't need you. In this last part of the chapter, we see our need for each other, our dependence on one another. As we share experiences together, we journey through life together. And there are things that you are good at that I am not. There are experiences that you have had that I have not. There are people that you can relate to that I cannot. People that you've connect with that I do not. We need each other. And I feel at the essence of what it means to belong to a community here, as we do life together, we rely on each other to fill in the gaps of and we get to share with our own skills and experiences. Again, it's not a bad thing to be different. We celebrate the differences and we learn from one another. And Paul also, I love this part, because he reminds us that we can suffer with those who are suffering and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. We take part in genuine community when we extend love to the people around us, no matter what's happening in our lives, because we depend on each other through the good times and through the hard times. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And Romans, you know, Paul, he expands on this and he says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Who are the know-it-alls? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to raise your hand. Okay. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Man, that will shine brightly in a dark world. That will shine brightly. Living at peace with everyone. Never paying back evil with evil. Seeking to live in harmony, but also stepping in when someone's broken, stepping in to their pain and their suffering. I mean, I think about my own journey within this community here at FAC. You know, my son, he's 6, turning 7, and the journey, we've had quite a journey with him. He's medically complex, and there were a lot of tears, and I was so grateful for this community to step in with me when there were tears. And there were times of rejoicing, and I was grateful for the times of rejoicing as well. Eternally grateful for our this community here. And I knew the importance of being a part of a community. When I moved here to FAC, or when I moved to Calgary, I had two aunts here. I didn't know anyone. Anyone else here moved to Calgary? Know no one? Been in that place before? Yeah, a few of us have been there before, right? Come here not knowing anyone and knowing, I love that I got to step into this community here at FAC and find so much love. I mean, that's honestly why I'm still here, because I love this community. I love that this community loves Jesus. I love that this community seeks to serve, seeks to represent Jesus in some very dark places. This is a wonderful community here. And yes, it takes time as we get to figure out each other and our gifts and abilities, but it's such a wonderful place to be. And I love that we get to share in times of joy, but also that we can support each other even in our suffering. Paul talks about how the diversity of the community fulfills the will of God. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I know it can be difficult to feel like you belong sometimes, when you don't know where to start, maybe struggling to connect with others, social anxieties, doubts, insecurities. I mean, have you ever heard imposter syndrome? Right? The reality that increasingly people are feeling it as if they don't belong and living with the fear of being exposed as a fraud who doesn't fit in. The reality is that we are all looking for community. The reality is that you do belong here, that you are a part of the community, that you belong somewhere, but even more importantly, you belong to someone. Our good, good Father. Now, Paul lists many of the different spiritual gifts and callings in this last part of 1 Corinthians 12. And my heart is that every single one of us can lean into what God has in store for us. The callings, the gifts, who he made you to be. And it's a process as we learn, as we trust Jesus and his calling. But I pray for all of us that we would go deeper and deeper and deeper into Jesus, knowing that it is absolutely the best place to be, that we find our place in this community, that we search out God's will for our lives. If spiritual gifts is something that maybe that's the first time you're hearing that word, you can go to freeshapetest.com, free, S-H-A-P-E, freeshapetest.com. And it has a wonderful resource, and you can put my email in there if you want to talk to a pastor and kind of unpack what that looks like. Or even with Pastor Carter, I know he'd love to do that as well. We would love to help you find your place here in the community, find your place in the kingdom. Now, how do we do this? What's the secret sauce? Okay, being united even in our diversity. Well, we're just going to take a quick peek into the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. We hear this one at most weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, in this context, however, it's all about Christian community. I mean, it really is a great passage. I'm pretty sure it was read at my wedding as well, and it is. And I will probably read it at more weddings because it is a beautiful chapter on what love is. But it's so much more encompassing than a husband and a wife. It's Christian community that we learn to love in our communities. It's what unites us together. God's Holy Spirit working in us and through us, compelling us to love God and love others deeply. So if you want to know what the secret sauce is, 1 Corinthians 13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Oh, let's be a community that love, loves others when they least expect it, when they least deserve it. My heart and my desire is that we would seek love above all else, the love found in Jesus, that our love for Jesus would unite us together. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Everything we do will be the result of experiencing God's love in our own lives and wanting others to experience God's love in their lives. Jesus unites us. The gospel unites us. The one thing that drives everything in 1 Corinthians 13 is the gospel. Jesus lived. He died. He rose again for you and for me, that we might turn from our sin and experience the freedom and peace that God has for us. The gospel will and should affect everything about how we live. The way Paul approaches the sin problem, these issues, it's the gospel. It's Jesus. Turn to Jesus, friends. Turn to Jesus every day. I know sometimes it's easy to rely on our own skills and abilities without turning to Him. We have it pretty good here in Calgary. But would that not, where we live, would that not take away from the fact that we get to experience more and more and more and more of Jesus each and every day? My encouragement for you, whatever problems you are facing, whatever situations you're encountering that seem maybe a little bit out of control, let's bring it to Jesus because He cares for us. And I love that we got to gather together in prayer today to bring our issues, bring the problems, bring the challenges to Jesus because He cares for us. And I pray that we would be a community united together, fully surrendered to Jesus because He cares. Even though we come from different backgrounds, different cultures, nations, languages, come together, we pray together, we worship together, we serve together, we grow together, we love others, all to the glory of the one true God, all for Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the beautifully complex community that is called your kingdom, that you have invited each and every one of us to be a part of your kingdom, that we have a part to play. Father, I pray for those that who are struggling with purpose, struggling with identity, that first and foremost, they would know that they are a child of the living God, that they are loved by you, that you are a good, good Father, that they cannot escape your love because it is wide, it is extravagant, it is deep, it is overwhelming, and it is for you. God's love is for you. Receive it, church. Receive it and know that you cannot escape it. No matter what your past was, how you are today, or what your future looks like, God's love is for you. And may your love, God, may your love change us. May it transform us. And may we continue to be lights that shine in dark places. And I pray for those who maybe don't quite know if they want to be a part of your kingdom, that you would continue working in their hearts. And my friend, would you just reach out to someone? Reach out to myself or another follower of Jesus. Then may we help you on your journey. Father, thank you again that we get to gather together in unity, even amidst our diversity, and proclaim that you are our King. And we love you, and we serve you.